Please turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Today we're in verses 8 through 11. While you turn there, I want to remind you that we've provided a read through the Bible in a year plan. I've got it over there on that side of the stage. If you want to grab one of those, maybe you started already. I want to remind you that if you attempt to read through the Bible in the year and you mess up, you fail, you're way behind, you know, keep going. If it takes you 2 or 3 years, that's okay. Every moment spent in God's Word is time with our triune God and will be nourishing for your soul. Time well spent. But if you want to pick one of those up, we have them over there. Well, maybe you've started a read through the Bible plan and you have a lot of energy and you're already in Exodus. Well, we're in Exodus 20 today in our text. And Exodus tells of the great escape of the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, through the Red Sea, and then all the way to Mount Sinai, where they receive the law of God. And primary in this law of God is what we call the Ten Commandments. We're going to be looking at one of those today. 8 of the Ten Commandments are prohibitions. Don't do this. Don't do that. 2 of the Ten Commandments are prescriptions. Do this. Do that. Of the 2 prescriptions, one is about honoring your mother and father, which keeps peace in the home and speaks to generational family heritage and the passing on of the faith to the next generation. The other prescription is about keeping the Sabbath, which is our text for today. Why is this one of the 10 commandments? It's because we need it. Let me pray first, and then we'll look at Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Let's pray. Lord, you have given us your law, and it is beautiful and profitable. You've given us your word, and every Lord's Day when we gather, you nourish our souls. You correct us where we need it. You comfort us where we need it. You encourage us where we need it. And so, Lord, we anticipate feeding out of your word today. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive your words with obedience and joy. We ask in Christ's name, and amen. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Let's hear God's word together. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within the gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Remember the Sabbath. The Lord blessed the Sabbath. Our sermon series at the beginning of the year is Remember. We want it to have those things from Scripture that our hearts are taught to remember because it's so easy to forget. We are a forgetful people. Remember the Sabbath is the 4th of the 10 commandments, and this command is about who you are. This command to remember a day of rest each week is about who you are. Let me ask a question. What does it mean to be one of you? Like to be one of your family, to be from your lineage, your heritage. What does it mean to be one of you? You know how in some homes they have the, in this home, we live, laugh, and love, or live, love, and laugh, or whatever they are in that order. Or in some other homes, which have a lot of little kids and a big mess, some families have something like this. Our house is lived in. It's not make-believe. If you don't like our mess, then you can leave. It's saying this is what it means. We're a busy house. We got a lot of people here. It's going to be a little messy, and we're okay with that. If you're not okay with that, you don't have to be here. What does it mean to be one of you? Now consider this. In the Ten Commandments, God gives us 10, 613 laws in the Old Testament. Okay, trivia answer. But 10 of them are the key to who God wants us to be. This is what it means to be part of God's family. We remember these things. And to be part of God's family, we remember the Sabbath. Why do we need to remember the Sabbath? As members of God's family, why? Listen closely. God's family remembers the Sabbath because we are no longer slaves. That's what the law is about. We remember the Sabbath because we are no longer slaves. Now, we'll get this law into our minds, then we're going to ask three questions about it, and we're going to get pretty practical. But before we get to that, I think that you know that you need rest. Anybody want to contend against it? Amen. How many of you made a New Year's resolution a couple weeks ago? I want to be more stressed in 2026. That's what I'm looking for. Nobody. And then we see that all of the rest promised in God's law points ahead to Jesus, and Jesus promises the true rest that every law of God points to. And this is Jesus' invitation for you. As we remember the Sabbath, we're actually going to be remembering the full rest Christ has purchased for us. And Jesus says to you, his people, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I think that you know that you need that. And Jesus offers it, but we have to remember his law and his gospel. Today, remember the Sabbath. Look at verse 8, Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Let's stop there. Remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath. Now, they got out of Egypt, and they went through the Red Sea, and they got to Mount Sinai, and God says, remember the Sabbath. That means this isn't a new law just for the Jewish people in their land. He says, remember the Sabbath. It means that while they were slaves in Egypt, they were supposed to have remembered and tried their best to obey this law, even though their taskmasters would have made it almost impossible to do. They were called to remember it, especially now that they are free people, no longer slaves. They have the ability to control their schedules. It's like when the kids get out for summer break. How do they feel? Just like the Israelites. We were slaves in school, and now we've been set free, and we can set our own schedules. And we're free. The kids are so excited. Israel was like that. They were slaves. Now, in this promised land they were heading to, they could set their own schedules. So God says, remember the Sabbath day. Verse 8 again. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, some of you are like, holy? What is holy? We use that word all the time. Here it means set apart. It means a special day. It means a dedicated day. It means a different day. Let's say you have an outfit and you only wear it for special occasions. That's a holy outfit. It's set apart. It's special. We just celebrated Christmas. Maybe some of you had a Christmas dress or a Christmas suit or an ugly Christmas sweater that you only wore for one occasion that year, and now it's back in the closet until the next time you have a special occasion. That's what it means to be holy, set apart. In the Sabbath law, God is saying, my people, one out of 7 days needs to be different than the other 6 days. Set apart, special, dedicated. And remembering the Sabbath eventually in the New Testament became about remembering the rules. We'll talk about the Pharisees a little later. But it's not about remembering the rules. It's about having a special set-apart day where you anticipate getting the privilege of resting and living differently. Because the rest of life is so stressful and busy. And the biggest difference for this set-apart day in the life of God's people is going to be work. Look at verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. All right, that doesn't mean you can't sit up on the Sabbath or walk on the Sabbath or lift a spoon on the Sabbath. It meant your normal workload, the work you do for a living, the work that you do to keep the business going, that is supposed to be done on the other 6 days. You're supposed to really work hard for 6 days so that you can really rest well on one day. Although the first ever Sabbath wasn't the seventh day of Adam's life, Adam was created on the sixth day, and he was on his first full day as a human being on the day God rested from all of his labors. And so Adam's first full day was a Sabbath rest. Why? Because God is the rest giver, and he gives his people true rest. Verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Now verse 10. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. Here we see what the day is not for. It's not for normal work. It's not for that. It's some time for everyone to rest. The Israelites should have rested. Their children should get to rest. Their servants should get to rest. Their visitors in the land should get to rest. Even their livestock should get a little bit of a break. Now, I am not a farmer or the son of a farmer, but I do know that you still have to milk the cows. I understand this, or the cows can get in a lot of pain, and they won't be able to rest if you don't milk them. That's what I know. That is my full extent of farming. So, yes, the livestock's supposed to have a day off, but they want to be able to rest. And the injured in your community still need medical emergency services because you don't let someone suffer on the Sabbath because you don't want to work. Of course, you heal. Of course, you mend. Of course, you bring joy and hope and peace into someone else's life. But normal work was supposed to stop. The whole land was supposed to hit pause for a day so everyone could go, just like God did on the seventh day of creation. He rested from all of his work. We were made in the image of a God who work 6 days, and then takes one day off. Verse 11, that's verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So it's a blessing to rest like God. It's supposed to be good. You're supposed to look forward to rest like most Americans look forward to a vacation because they never take a rest. But God has said for his people, work really hard for 6 days and I'll give you a blessed day of rest once a week. It's a gift that the world doesn't even have. He designed us for it. Now, some of you want to know, but is this a law that we have to follow? And of course, that's the wrong question. Do we have to go on vacation? Do we have to take a break from school? Do we have to take a break from work? What do you mean, do you have to? Asking, is this a law we have to follow, is the wrong question. Is this a gift we get to receive? Yes, but there are debates about whether or not this law is applied to us in the new covenant. And I'll say sure. To summarize all 2,000 years worth of debates, sure. Some have said that the Sabbath was only for Israel in the Old Covenant. That view was famously held by St. Augustine, actually, of all people. But most Christians believe that some version of this Sabbath law applies today, either by direct law or at least in principle in the New Covenant. And the reason we believe this is because, as I said before, God says to them, remember the Sabbath. This wasn't a Jewish law. The Sabbath goes all the way back to the design in creation. The human species was designed by God for 6 days of really hard work and one day of really good rest. Just like, think about your phone. Most of you have a phone and you charge it every night. What happens to your phone if you use it really hard for a week and never charge it back up? What does it do? It dies. What happens to your soul, which is worth a lot more than an iPhone 23, whatever they're on? I don't know. What happens to your soul when you work, and never enjoy the gift from God of rest? It's deadly. It's going against our design. Our soul is so valuable. The human body and soul were designed to need a day out of seven breaks. So my view is that the law extends into the new covenant, but the day has been changed to the first day of the week, Sunday, which most Christians call the Lord's Day. That's a common view among Christians. And right from the start of the Christian church in the New Testament, we see they had their special dedicated day, not on the Sabbath anymore, but on the first day of the week. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday, on the first day of the week. In Acts 20, the disciples are breaking bread on the first day of the week. In 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says, take up your collection on the first day of the week. And then John says in Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. So we already have that term going around, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. So most Christians believe that the spiritual principles of the Sabbath law are for Christians to observe on Sundays where possible. And here we are. It's the Lord's Day. Happy Lord's Day to you. May your soul find rest in the Lord. But now with Jesus' words echoing in our mind, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. With that offer from Jesus, let's ask three questions about this Sabbath principle for God's people. Here's our questions. Why do we Sabbath? Why do we fail? And how do we rest? We're going to go really fast through this. If you take notes, get ready. Why do we Sabbath? Why do we fail to do it? And how do we rest? For each question, four answers. Number one, why do we Sabbath? Four reasons. Nature, need, blessing, gift. Why do we need a Sabbath rest? Why do we need a day off per week? Nature, need, blessing, gift. Number one, our nature. We see in creation that we were made in the image of God. If you had a sign on the wall of the house, it could say, in this house we love like God, live like God, work like God, and rest like God. So number one, our nature, it's our nature to have a day of rest per week. We were designed for it. Two, it's our need. We were made by a creator, and he has given us the instruction manual. And the instructions are, work really hard for 6 days so that you can rest for a day dedicated to the Lord. It's a sad reality that in most Western countries, we have a two-day weekend, and people still feel busier than ever. It's a real problem. If you have a workload that you could not get done in 6 very hardworking days, it's possible you've signed up for too much. So we need it. It's a need. God tells us we need it. Third, it's a blessing. Look at the end of verse 11. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. God blessed a certain day. He set that day apart for something special, something restful, something that will spiritually recharge you so that you don't burn out. Are you taking that rest one day a week? It's a blessing. Fourth, it's a gift. Do you remember in Hebrews 4, we learn about Jesus as our high priest, and let me read what it says about Jesus as our high priest because it's connected in Hebrews 4 to the actual true rest that we're supposed to be getting, especially on the Lord's Day. This is at the end of Hebrews 4. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest. This is the rest that he gives us, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. That's the rest promised to God's people. Mercy when you need it. Grace when you need it. A mediator when you need it. A high priest when you need it. Someone who understands your weaknesses when you need it. In your time of need. Where else are you going to get that? Just 3 more hours on Instagram give you the mercy and grace for your time of need? Does 3 more hours of overtime at work give you that rest and mercy and grace that you need? How about 3 extra hours of Eagles football? Do you come away after an Eagles game thinking, I'm so restful and refreshed? Hopefully tonight, but I doubt it. Jesus is our high priest, and he offers us sympathy in our weakness. Our weakness, one of them, is that we don't know how to rest. We don't know how to do it. So he came and gave his life so that he could purchase rest for us. It comes from Jesus, which is why our day of rest should be full of worship. Jesus paid for our sins that we might receive forgiveness, mercy, grace in our weaknesses and in our time of need. So fourth, it's a gift. Number one, why do we Sabbath? Nature, need, blessing, gift. That should be enough for you to say, I have to rearrange my life to get this gift from God. But here's the problem. That's why our sermon series is called Remember, We Forget. Question two, why do we fail? There's a lot of reasons why we fail to take a day of rest each week, and I'll give four: laziness, idolatry, slavery, and self-righteousness. This isn't going to be any fun, but we're all here, okay? Why do we fail to rest? Laziness, idolatry, slavery, self-righteousness. Number one, laziness. Here's why we fail to rest one day a week. If it's Sunday, if you're able to do that on Sundays, here's why we fail to rest. Laziness. You get to Sunday, and you still have 4 loads of laundry, 6 hours of homework, 2 bills to pay, 5 emails to send, 1 work report to finish, and the list could go on and on and on. And because you don't work hard for 6 days, you are way behind when you get to Sunday, and you're not ready for Monday. Sometimes for laziness reasons, we're never able to take a day of rest. We try and take our day of rest every night from 5 to 1 a.m., so we never get a day to rest. Why do we fail? Number two, idolatry. Look at the end of verse 11. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Do you trust that God said you need a day off per week to really rest? Do you trust God? He says, I've given this to you as a gift. He promises, work hard for 6 days. I made you for that. And then set aside a special day and you'll be blessed. But we idolize other things, other endeavors, other commitments. Maybe it's sleep, sports, work, fun, travel. Only you and the Lord know of an idol getting in the way of your rest. And here's how to ask yourself, am I getting a day of rest per week? When you wake up tomorrow, will you be spiritually and physically rested, refreshed, and ready for another week? When you wake up tomorrow, will you be spiritually and physically rested, refreshed, and ready for another week? God designed you to do that. Maybe most people hate Mondays because they never really got any rest any day in that past week. It's a gift. And not trusting God's plan is maybe why we fail. Third, slavery. Tough word, but it's from Scripture. The Sabbath law was there in Israel so that they would remember that they were no longer slaves. They were so used to it. In Egypt, the Israelites would not have had a day off per week to honor their Sabbath law, although their Sabbath started, you know, Friday night into Saturday. But in Egypt, the Israelites had 7 days of work to work every week. And they were so used to that lifestyle that when they were set free to set their own schedules, it might have been tempting to go back to that old pattern. We actually have 2 accounts of the Ten Commandments. We have Deuteronomy 5 and Exodus 20, which we're in. Over in Deuteronomy 5, in the giving of the Sabbath law, there's an extra comment, and let me just read it. In the middle of God's law about the Sabbath, God says this: "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day, working hard 7 full days without ever getting a rest is the life of a slave." And Israel was given a gift. In fact, God knew they would be so tempted to fail at this, he put it in his law. You better not forget this. You need a day off. in some way, shape, or form from the busyness of life. Why do we fail? Slavery. And then fourth and finally, self-righteousness. Self-righteousness means we're trying to earn favor. We're not resting in the gospel that Christ has earned everything for us. We're trying to earn it with good works, with filling our schedule, with whatever we do. And that's, as I said before, what the Pharisees were doing. You remember what the Pharisees did on the Sabbath? You remember how restful they were on the Sabbath? I mean, they were the experts in Sabbath law. They knew the Sabbath law. They knew what counted as rest. They knew what counted as work. They were really experts at it. And the experts at Sabbath law did this in Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." What were the Pharisees doing? On the Sabbath, they were resting. No, they were walking around making sure everybody else followed the rules and trying to catch the people who didn't. Talk about missing the point of the Sabbath. They took it so seriously as a law, they completely failed to rest. Talk about missing the point. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls." And Jesus said that in the face of the Pharisees, putting the law of God, crushing everyone. You've got to be better. You've got to earn it. No, Christ earned it. And so we can rest in him. Jesus has earned our salvation, so we can rest. Why might we fail to do this? Laziness, idolatry, slavery, self-righteousness. That's the bad news. But we'll end with the good news. Jesus has hope for our weary souls. Why do we Sabbath? Why do we fail? Third question, how do we rest? Four things. And before we get there, the law of God on this is very vague intentionally. There's a whole bunch of space for you and your household to figure out how are we going to make sure a whole day's worth of worship and rest fits the schedule God has given us. Maybe for you, it's going to be hard to do that all on a Sunday. Maybe you have another day of the week where you build in part of that Sabbath rest principle. God has given us so much freedom. Look at verse 10. "But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it, you shall not do any work. You, son, daughter, male servant, female servant, livestock, sojourner." All it says is, take a break. Take a restful time off. Time out. Of course you need to milk the cows. Of course you need to perform medical services. Some jobs make this impossible, like my job. I work on Sundays. I have to be ready. I've got to make sure I'm working. So one of the things that I do to build a Sabbath principle into my life is I don't open emails on Fridays. Now you know. You wonder why I didn't respond on a Friday. I am available as a pastor for pastoral emergencies 24/7, 365 and a quarter. I will always respond if there's a pastoral emergency. You can text me. You can call me. I'm there. I've been there. I'm glad to do it. But there's one day a week where I just take off from email because I've got my work and my private emails together. And I'm just like, I just want a day where I don't have to think about that. It's one day I build it in because Sunday's very busy with the things of what God has given me to do for my work. Have you done anything like that to make sure there's a little bit of a break so that you can get rest from your normal workload? God says, everybody take a break. Figure out how to make sure you have a break in your life. Four ways to rest. Plan ahead, clear your calendar, silence your phone, open your Bible. Four quick things. Plan ahead, clear calendar, silence phone, open Bible. Resting requires thinking ahead. Plan ahead. Earlier in Exodus 16, they were supposed to start celebrating the Sabbath even on their journey to Mount Sinai. And God tells them to do this because remember, they weren't used to it. So they're getting ready for their first Sabbath day without the Egyptians telling them what to do. In verse 23 of Exodus 16, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over, lay aside to be kept till the morning." So God's like, you're not going to know how to do this, so make enough food that there's leftovers. the invention of leftovers. Did you know that? This is leftovers. Eat the leftovers. So you don't have to think, what am I going to eat? What am I going to make? What am I going to boil? What am I going to bake? We tell young families this, you know, one of the best ways to have a restful Sunday is to lay out the clothes Saturday night. So you're not scrambling around trying to find out, what am I going to wear? Who's going to wear what? There's one other thing I do. And again, I'm not perfect at resting, but one thing we have found really helpful is on Sundays, we have a restaurant that has an app. And when we're leaving, not while we're driving, but when we're leaving, right, we get to the car, I just click this one button and it orders our regular meal from this restaurant. And we always have two cars. Sarah takes the kids home and I go to this restaurant, pick up our food, and we go home and we don't have to cook and we eat what we like and there's not a lot of dishes to clean up. And then after that, everyone can nap or rest or play games or go shoot hoops in the backyard. And if the Eagles game's on, it'll stress us out. But if the Eagles game's not on, and then we come back most nights for children's ministry and youth ministry. We have more time dedicated to God. It makes for a restful day. Have you built any of those things with technology into your days? Plan ahead. Number one, plan ahead. Number two, clear your calendar. And we're almost done. We're going real quick at the end here. Some of us have 7 full days of events with absolutely no 6-hour window to even catch our breath. And that is survivable. But it's not sustainable. And it's not what God has designed. Consider taking something off of your calendar this year so that one day or a bulk of a day can be restful. Clear calendar. Number three, and this is the all-purpose one, silence your phone. Now, for some of you, it's not your phone. It's work, it's email, it's TV, it's a hobby that stresses you out. It's constant contact with text messaging. I got to respond, I got to respond, I got to respond, I got to respond. And that's not restful. You never find time to rest. For most of us, it's just silence your phone and put it away for a couple of hours. Where do you need to silence something so that you can rest as God designed you and as He rested? Silence your phone or whatever it is for you. And fourth and finally, open your Bibles. Open your Bibles. The Sabbath was a day dedicated to the Lord, and Jesus is the only one who can actually give you true rest. He's the only one who can give you true rest. Rest for your soul. So make sure that your Sabbath, your Lord's Day, however you find time each week to make sure a day is different or a chunk of time is different, make sure it's filled with God's word and worship, that your soul might find rest. As one author said, the Christian Sabbath or Lord's Day anticipates the full experience of eternal rest in the world to come. Our rest is coming. We will rest in peace. In the new heavens and the new earth, we will work but never grow weary. We will rejoice and we will never again sin. We will find perfect rest even in our labors in the age to come. And the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath, anticipates that. So fill the day with worship and songs and Bible reading and napping as you pray and fall asleep while you pray. Time with the Lord. God has blessed one day a week. And yeah, is it a law? It's a gift. Remember what Jesus said to the people who were getting it wrong. In Mark 2, he says, the Sabbath was made for man. I did this so you would learn how I made you, not man for the Sabbath. So brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus promises to give you rest as you attempt in faith to build Sabbath rest moments into your schedule. Remember the Sabbath, remember the gospel, and remember the words of Jesus. He died to pay for our sins, to save us from slavery and idolatry, and He earned a day of rest. So I'll end with Christ's words for us. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we need rest. We need rest. You made us to need rest. We've burnt ourselves out. We've been lazy. We've gone back to a life of slavery. But because of Jesus Christ, you've set us free from that, and you invite us to receive the gift of Sabbath rest on the Lord's Day as we've worshiped you now, for the rest of today in ways and shapes and forms, as you give us the freedom and creativity to build restful, worshipful moments into our schedule. And for my brothers and sisters here who have had no rest for many, many months, help them remember to find their rest in you. May we all look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and not try to earn favor with you, but to remember that Jesus earned favor with you for us. And by grace through faith, remembering the gospel, we will have rest. Give us rest. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.